Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Surrender at 5 podcast. Today, joining us is the only other person I've ever seen slanted glasses other than me, Big Bud.
Welcome, welcome.
The nose just makes them drop down. I feel distinguished, you know, it makes me feel like I'm smarter than I am.
Yes. Yes, I ate organic bananas today. Yes.
Also, I fall asleep with them on way too often. That's probably more of the actual thing. You know, you're doing random stuff, you fall asleep. You're laying on top of them.
Yeah, I totally get that. And then also joining, as always, is the one, the only, Mike Lowry.
Yo, what's good? My site, the mains out there, what's popping? Yeah, you see us today representing Big Bud, you know what I'm saying? Big Bud official, unofficial merch. If he's got merch, you got to get some. But ever since I seen him on streams, I was like, yo, I got a couple of button-ups. Look pretty, look colorful. Let me wear them on stream sometimes, man. Big inspiration. What up, bud?
You know, it's like a dad on vacation attire. That's what I like to think of it.
Yeah.
As. You know,
okay.
Dad on vacation. So, you know, like, yeah, he does work, but he's just chilling right now.
Hell yeah.
I'm away from kids, you know. Chilling
right now. Yeah, man, thank you for joining us today. For those listening in, of course, you want to check us out on YouTube. Go ahead, Random.
If you want to check us out on YouTube, we just made a Surrender at 5 exclusive channel, so go check that out. We're slowly getting all the episodes over there, and that'll be the new home of Surrender at 5 podcast.
Man, I'm really excited. Kind of a noob. I didn't realize building a new channel, not being verified, they don't allow you to upload any number of videos you want. You have to do a certain amount at a time. So the channel is slowly getting videos on there. But whenever they verify us or enough time passes, all the episodes will be there. Episodes are still, of course, available on Spotify, iTunes. We have Kellosaurus Part 2 coming, DPG06. That was a hot episode. We had I Will Lift on the show. We played some trios after. That was crazy, bro. And in this episode, we got the one and only Big Bud. So I'm really excited for this. Really excited. We got the new YouTube channel, home base. Good times, man. Really hyped for the show and the things we're doing. It's what, January 30th, 31st? Damn, look at this, man. Randomized joined the show this month. And look. Oh, my God. I'm just like hyped, man.
The
this fucking show
month,
is like
gone.
Blowing up. For real. It's just going up. It's going up on a Tuesday because today is Tuesday. What up, Big Bud, man? How you doing today? So really excited you're on the show. For this Surrender at 5 podcast. Before we dive into Unite, we kind of like to give our guests platform, you know, pull back the curtain so folks can get to know about you a little bit. For the folks listening in at home, can you let them know how you got into streaming and how you got into the Pokemon world?
All right, so Pokemon world is just easy. You know, I've been playing Pokemon since I was 11 when Red and Blue came out. You know, copped Blue. All my friends copped Red. They all picked Charmander. I picked Blastoise, and I just been holding that grudge of beating their ass since I was 11 years old. You know, beating their ass. That's the main thing. I've been holding that for forever. I think I even hate Charizard a little bit more. Like people who know me know that. Like I just genuinely dislike Charizard.
Yeah,
and part of it is because like. My best friend at the time, like we're playing Red and Blue, and we before we even started, we were like, look, after every gym, we'll battle each other and see, you know what I'm saying, see who's better. First gym, you know, I'm Squirtle, you know, I got a War Turtle, I just beat Brock, I'm good. I'm thinking, you know, I'm level 16, 17 or whatever coming out of that. We go to battle, he pulls out with a full Charizard.
Because
he didn't train anything else, and because he didn't train anything else.
Not that dude. Not that
and,
dude.
And he needed full Charizard to beat Brock because he couldn't beat it with Charmeleon. So he pulled out with full Charizard, and I still won that fight.
Damn.
And then so since then it's just been like a nonstop grudge match with me and Charizard.
Oh my goodness.
And then you throw in that like I'm a contrarian at heart. So like nice. People who love it, there's too many people who love it for it not being good. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, there was just so many different things of it. Like, oh, it's not really a dragon. you have dragon types, and it's not that. And then as you progress through the Pokemon years, it was still really bad, and then Megas dropped, and then now, like, you just kind of got to give it to it. Like, okay, now it's all right. And then G-Max, and it's like, okay, now it's all right. So, like, but yeah, for so long, it was so bad, and I couldn't understand why people would like a Pokemon that bad so much. Whatever.
You just taught me about myself real quick. That word, contrarian. I feel like you know me. That's, yeah. Like, oh, y'all think it's a big thing? Nah, I'm over here with this one. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Big butt on the episode teaching me about myself. Can't believe that. I feel you on that. Yeah, they gave Charizard all kind of evolutions and forms throughout the years.
They give him everything possible to make sure that he is good. They're trying to make him good without doing so much to, you know, like, because they don't really do buffs and nerfs and stuff like that typically in the game. They do a little bit sometimes here or there in between new releases. But overall, like, they don't really change, like, especially for starters, they don't change their stats or anything like that. All they do is really add moves or give new forms, you know, depending on the game. So, like, that's about it. So it just made me be like, man, I don't hate it. I just hate it. So I've always been in the Pokemon world. Streaming kind of weird, or content in general, actually started with Yu-Gi-Oh. I used to, like, actually right around the time I got with my wife, some of my friends that I worked with convinced me to pick him back up Yu-Gi-Oh. I had played it a little bit when I was younger, but it was almost 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, hey, let's get back into some Yu-Gi-Oh. And I'm like, all right, cool. And we started getting back into it, and it was just so much new stuff. You know, just like any Pokemon fan, like how Mitch is coming back from Red and Blue and Yellow coming into, you know, Scarlet and Violet. There's so much new stuff, so many new Pokemon. And that's how it was for me. It was so many new cards and so many new rules that I was just like, it was a lot. I started to do was, up until that point, using YouTube, all I did was use it for, like, watching funny skits and music videos and things like that. And then, so that was my, really, like, my first time being like, you know what? I'm gonna look up actual stuff about this, you know, like, this game, and see what they have. And I saw people building decks and explaining why this deck works and that deck works, and then doing pack openings and stuff like that. And I was just like, I was intrigued by it. So then I started, you know, they had a similar to, like, Pokemon Showdown, they had, like, a little simulator app called Yu-Gi-Oh Pro. So I would build decks on there.
Oh, okay.
And keeping with the contrarian, I don't like to use what's meta in anything. I don't like to use what's meta. And if I'm gonna use what's meta, I don't like to use it exactly the way the meta uses.
Yeah, I love it.
I would take.
Yeah, I love your spirit so much.
Random stuff, and my whole goal was, yeah, I know this isn't the best thing in the world, but can I get wins off of this, or can I find a way to beat what's meta, a few times with this? And then so I would just do that, and I would every now and then I post like a couple of videos, but I would, that's what sparked it for me. Like, I was starting to like watch content based around Yu-Gi-Oh, and, you know, like, seeing how they created stuff, you know, people doing intros and, you know, having themes to, like, what they do. And so that, in my mind, that was my theme. It's like, I'm going to be off meta. I'm going to create a meta that isn't what you want to play. And it's not counter meta, because counter meta is a meta. You know, like, that's the thing. Like,
Everybody's
doing this, I'm going to do this that specifically counters that. That's going to change all the time. I'm going to pick something that, like, shouldn't even be good. It probably wasn't even good when it first came out, so it definitely shouldn't be good now, and I'm going to try to make it work. And then I started doing that, uploaded a couple of videos for that. I used to go to Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments. Do great, but, you know, like, but again, my goal was, I want to try to get some wins off of people who are using these meta decks and frustrate them, because they're going to be, yeah, you know, like, I'd pull up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're using a meta deck, when you pull up and you're battling stuff, you're dueling, People don't even need to ask you what card you're using or what that card effect does because they're so used to seeing it.
Exactly.
But then I slap a card down, they're like, they're looking at it like, hold on.
Like, hold on.
And then now, and then anyway, Yu-Gi-Oh, there's timing. So then it's just like, what's this so card? When you activate this, do you get to do this right after it? And I'm like,
oh, is it a quick spell? Like, oh. Yeah. Oh, I know Yu-Gi-Oh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like,
yep, it's a quick spell.
If you chain that to this and then chain it to this, mm-hmm. you still get to activate this. Yeah, this doesn't miss that. You know, and it's just like, and then now they're like, dang, that actually sounds good. You know, like,
yep.
And then I, you know, I'd win a couple of matches off of people or something like that. Even if they beat me in the set, you know, like I take one game and then maybe make that last game really, really close. And
yeah,
and that was my goal. It's just like make people kind of respect something that just wasn't good.
And then
so we were doing that for a while. And then right around X and Y dropping in Pokemon, my friends were like, hey, you know, we haven't played Pokemon in a minute. Let's all group together and get that. And we did. We ended up grouping together, getting that. We were playing through that. And then so my mindset just kind of transferred to the same thing. It was like, hey, let me see what people are doing in this. Now that I'm introduced to like content, like fully making content around a game, essentially, like not just a video game, but you know, like it was a card game initially I was looking at, but then I was like, well, let me see what's around this. And then I ran into like Let's Players and stuff like that. So it was just like people that would play through the game in different ways, Nuzlocks, you know, co-ops, versus stuff like that. So I was like, oh, there's a whole content world around Pokemon as well. Like I started to dive into that. And,
yes, sir.
And then I found draft leagues, where, you know, like everybody gets to draft, you know, a certain amount of Pokemon, mm-hmm. you know, just like NFL type of draft. And then, you each week you have a scheduled battle against somebody in their team and you got to build your team best for that. And that's what really took me to like, oh, this is it. Like this is my content. It's where people can't use the same meta all the time. You know, like if you go into five stats for Pokemon Unite, you know, like a lot right now, you're going to see Mew, Mime, Urshifu, Dodrio, Sableye, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of times you could see that exact same five, like three or four matches in a row. And that's what I don't like. And it was the same thing with like battles in, Pokemon. Like if you go on Pokemon Showdown, you're going to see the same team. Go into the game and play in the game, you're going to see the same thing. Especially like now, like rental codes made it even easier for people to just be like, oh, this team is good. All right, I'm going to just use that team. You know, like I don't need to be good at the game because this person's already figured out how to be good at the game. So I'm just going to use exactly what they're doing. And then so with the draft league, it was like, oh, okay, like you can't just do that. Like you got to come up with, you can try to draft the team that you've seen be good in somebody else's draft.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody snipes part of that, how do you recover? And then how do you use that Pokemon that you had to swap out in place of what they had that worked so well? And then, so then I was watching a lot of that, bigger, you know, like main YouTubers, like Pokemon YouTubers, like A-Drive, Shady Penguin, and
Pokegame
and stuff like that. I was watching all of that stuff. And then I found an app called Amino, Pokemon Amino. And on this app, it was just like, it was all Pokemon content. Like, I mean, Amino has like a bunch of different communities for all kinds of different things, but I found the one that was for Pokemon.
Got it.
And on that, I just kind of asked like, hey, if I start a league, like, is anybody interested? And I had gathered some following because like before I asked that question, I was be at work bored and I would draw random Pokemon and it'd be bad drawings.
Here
but
I'd
post
is.
Them yep. on there and people would be like, yo, that's good. And I'm like, it's not, but all right. You know, and so people would follow me for that. And then I posted about the draft league and people were like, sure. And then I hit two of my friends up and I mean I posted on Facebook actually first. And two friends from real life were like, yeah, I'll do that. And then so started with them too. One of them, basically my best friend Rash, one of them, he was like, I'll help you set it up. You know what I'm saying? Cause I didn't even know, like me and him had worked together.
Oh, word. That's cool.
Yeah, like me and him had worked together. And all I really knew was that like we were into some of the same sports. Like, he liked hockey a little bit more than I do. I like basketball more than he does, but, like, we could bond over football for sure.
Right.
And then, but I didn't know he was, like, really into Pokemon like that. And then, so when that came around,
that's cool.
And he joined for that, and I was like, okay, cool. And then he kind of helped me set up the league and get everything going. And then just random people I had never spoken to before joined the league. And some of them now are like some of my closest people. You know, like if you see a fly guy in my chat, or if you see Ink Zev, who's in the chat right now.
Hey, shout out to Ink Zev for real.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, those are people I met. I mean, that was almost 8 years ago now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, that's deep bonds. Okay.
Yeah. So like they then they go Rash now too. Like, hey, those people like helped me, you know, build that thing. We got that league going off. There were a lot of other leagues on that app, but like that, like we kind of solidified ourselves as like one of the top leagues because we stopped other people. So what we did is like, because most leagues at that time, you draft your 10 Pokemon. Usually it was like 10 Pokemon. They're all tiered differently, so they all have different values. You have a set amount of points you can use, just like a salary cap.
Yeah, and then, I like that.
So then you have all these things tiered differently, and you got to choose at least one from each tier, and then you got to try to fill out the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did is, like, because what we saw, even online, and in the main big YouTuber leagues, is that, like, yeah, they'll do that. They'll follow that rule of, like, filling out their team within that salary cap. But that Pokemon that was only 5-10 points, because it's super bad, they will never bring it to a battle, ever. You'll never see it. And then at that point, it's like, why are you even picking that Pokemon up? So we had it to where,
oh,
hey, if you're whatever, every Pokemon okay. you have on your team has to come to at least one battle.
Got
so
it.
Now you can't just draft something that's going to sit on the bottom of your team and not be able to do anything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you,
good
gotta,
job
you
on that
gotta
rule.
Do every, bring every Pokemon. So if you bought something, if you had something that was really, really bad, just so you could save the points to get something else that was really, really good, well, you got to bring this to a battle, and you got to hope that, like, now that instead of a 6v6 battle, because this Pokemon is super bad, you're kind of 5v6.
Yeah.
And is that going to cause you to lose a week? You know, like something like that. Or if you got two, because some people would stack their team so heavy, like, they'd have two or three of those Pokemon that are just, like, really bad. And then they would come, and then like they were so used to playing in all those others leagues that when they would play in ours, they get mad, like, why do I have to bring this? You know, like, well, hey, look, that's the rule. You know, like, why did you draft it?
Exactly.
If you didn't want it, don't draft it. You know what I'm saying? So we did that for a minute. I started streaming here or there around that time. I didn't have a good computer setup or anything. We would record our battles. A couple of times we streamed the full draft. We would do like a draft analysis, and then on the Amino app we would do like draft recaps and analysis on there, like in blog form. You know, we'd create graphics for it. At one point I had a website for it, where like I'd update stats and stuff for it on the website, so you could see your team's logo on a full page by itself.
Damn,
all your team awesome. Pokemon. Like we did a lot of different stuff. It became a little too much, and then we just moved to like keeping all that same information in a Google Doc. Rash set that up so perfectly. Like, he created a Google Doc and had all the formulas great, so that way we can just be, you know, click drop down boxes. It'll move people to certain teams. It'll show all their stats. It was nice. And it's kind of during that, like, I would stream here or there. I'd record, you know, a Let's Play here or there. I think my first Let's Play was Pokemon Black. I did a Nuzlocke of that. I did one of, like, Pokemon Prism. But, like, these would just happen, like, kind of randomly. I wouldn't always have the time to, like, finish them or stream consistently and stuff like that. So I just didn't do it. And then basically, like, right around quarantine hitting, like, I was already starting to get to a point where it's like, you know, like, my schedule's kind of set, so I can stream a little bit more often. Then quarantine hit, so like now I'm working at home, and I can really just do this. Like, you know, like, I'm already like my computer setup in general, like at that time when quarantine first hit, I already, you know, I had a computer set up. I had my work laptop, and I had an extra monitor for my work laptop. Then I had two monitors for my computer setup. And then as quarantine went on, it was like, okay, now I got three monitors. Oh, actually, now I got four monitors. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, so now I'm like, I'm doing work, but like, I got two Twitch chats open. I'm watching Dr. Lupo because like he's on 8 o'clock every morning, you know, Monday through Friday. Oh, except for Wednesdays, I think. So I'm watching Dr. Lupo every morning, and I'm watching whatever random Twitch chat I can follow and things like that. And I'm just doing that. And then as soon as I'm done with work, it was, okay, I'm going to stream something. You know, a lot of it was, most of the time it was Apex. It was Apex Legends. I wasn't even doing PC gaming at the time. I was doing console gaming. So it was a lot of Apex Legends. I don't think of what else. I haven't played just random stuff.
Have you played Fortnite?
I have played Fortnite for sure. I didn't stream it back then. I've streamed it a little bit here lately, especially since no build mode, because no build mode is just way more fun to me. It's a mix. I think building is what makes Fortnite, like that's what made it so great. But the skill gap is so huge for that. The edits and stuff like that. So it's just like,
because you have people just cranking 90s, like,
yeah,
they, like you, it's every you, day.
You sneeze and they've built the White House full with security. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then now you just can't touch them. And then so like, I just was like, no, that kind of stopped me from playing the game, to be honest. So then when they dropped the no build mode, now it's like, okay, well, I play Apex. There ain't no building in that. Like, I gotta, everything in Apex is environment. If you need cover, you gotta find something that's on the map for cover. So then, like, now it makes it to where, oh, I can be pretty decent in Fortnite because now it's a shooting game and a cover game, and I can deal with that. Right. And besides, like, the random shenanigans, you know, you get All Might Deku Smash or whatever, and through six buildings and into the sky, you know, random stuff like that. But it's still fun. It's still a fun time, especially if you don't want to take it serious.
Kamehameha in Fortnite, and it was just like this huge laser that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Kamehameha, the Deku Smash, like those things, are definitely broken and ridiculous. But that's also part of what makes Fortnite Fortnite. I mean, I remember they had a money tournament where, like, the day before is when they released like some super powerful sword for play, and it was just like the sword would just it would make you jump up like three or four stories high. You can just slash straight down through all the builds and stuff like that. And they had the Thanos gauntlet, and they've had all kinds of crazy broken items. The mechs, when they had the mechs, watching people get blown up and stuff by the mechs, that was a time. You know, like people lost sponsorships off of the mechs because of how bad they would shit talk Fortnite because of like how unfun it felt during that time. Yep. Like Courage JD was the announcer for Worlds. He's the one who called out the winning Worlds play, called out Booga winning, you know, what was it? $3 million, something like that. Some crazy amount of money, I don't remember. But he's the one who made the call. When you think of Fortnite, the first World Cup, his voice is all over that. And then they wouldn't let him call anything else, cast anything else, because he was talking so negatively about the mouth. Like, that's how bad it was for players around that time. It's just like, that is, you know, like, it's ridiculous. So that's kind of where I went for streaming. It was just, you know, doing a lot of those things and getting into Pokemon content through that. And Draft Leagues leading into a further content creation, and then realizing, hey, sometimes with stream, sometimes it is just easier to just click go live, play your game, have your friends come in and chat with you. Even if you ain't got 20, 30, 40 people in your chat, you got two or three of your buddies in there, and they just can't play, but they can watch you be trash real quick. Sometimes that's just fun, you know?
That's what I do a lot. Like, sometimes I'm just chilling, same, and I'm just like, oh, I want to play Unite. I might as well click start streaming. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm the best at Unite, but when I play, I always have fun. I have just Shantae and Sonic in the background, and I just have a great time.
Yeah. You just try to vibe. I try to vibe a lot. I'm so competitive, and like, and people not being logical just sends me off the deep end.
Ooh,
it just sends me off the deep end, and it's just like, oh man. And for most part, matchmaking in almost every game is bad.
Yep.
You can find a reason for it to be bad in every game.
Every game.
But Unite finds it like a different level. I don't know. It's a different level of
sinister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real sinister.
And the way and it makes it tougher to even say it's purely matchmaking, because the way the ranked system works allows for somebody who doesn't know how to play the game to reach the highest available rank. Not the highest elo. They won't have the best elo, but they'll be at a point where they can only match with people who are of that high elo or ultra. You know, so like, okay. And they don't fully understand the game yet. And at least they took a step this season. I think it was this season where they started it. Where they made it to where veteran players couldn't play with master rank players. That was a huge step.
Oh my god, thank goodness.
That was a huge step. And also making it to where master rank players didn't fall back into vet after the new season starts.
Yeah.
Those two things are huge. Mm-hmm. Because those things every season, it's like being in vet itself with actual veteran rank players, you know, isn't a tough thing. You know, like it's the middle of the road. It's the middle of the ranks, you know, old scale. So like it's supposed to have people who are like so close to putting it together that they'll be good.
Yeah.
But it also has those people who are they are just learning this game, or they have no idea what they're doing yet. And that's what that is, because that scale of hey, bet five being people who just made it out of expert shouldn't be able to be, and because the way the Unite stuff is saying, hey, if you're ultra, you can play no matter what rank in ultra you are, you can play with people in masters. So right. I can queue up with somebody who has, you know, 3,000, you know, elo. They can have 3,000 RP, and I could be ultra five, no blips. And if I lose this game, I go back into veteran, and y'all can queue up together. And it shouldn't be that way, because the skill difference should be way too much for them.
Yeah.
And that's where the issue was for me with Unite. It's like you reach masters. I mean, I think one time I hit 1800, because I don't usually push that far. So I hit 1800, made into world ranking, and then the rank reset, and then I'm vet three. And then now I'm playing with people. And then when you're in veteran, at that point, veteran could play with great, expert, ultra, and master. So on any given match, I could have people on the other team who are the people who, as soon as ranked reset, they grinded for 3 hours and hit master. While on my team, I could have people who have either probably barely made it to vet or were like barely, you know, almost in vet, and they were just an expert. So now they're in great, and they literally that's their skill gap, which is fine. Not everybody's going to be good at the game.
Yeah.
So like, but having them on my team when I'm facing other people that are, you know, clearly playing it at that level shouldn't be that way. Mm. And then you'd have those times where, you know, the lovely thing that Unite likes to do is like, now not only is it that kind of difference where like, hey, the other team got masters player on it and your team only got, you know, two great players. You're the veteran and you got like one dude that's an ultra. And then, but you know, also the other team is a five stack. You know, and it's just like,
oh my God, man.
And then so like, you'd have all these kind of different things that would just randomly hit you. Mm-hmm. And before it was, for me, it was already frustrating because like you just have those feelings like unless maybe their names had they had the same naming convention, so you can fully tell it's in 5 seconds. Like, oh, they got their team name at the beginning of it or something like that. But like sometimes you just be playing a game and it's like, bro, why does this feel like a 5 stack? Like, and you're looking at the names and they don't match up or nothing. You're just like, why does this feel like a 5 stack? But then now I can go check Unite API and it'll tell me, hey, now that was a five stack you were going against.
Talk to him.
And like, you just lost, you know, like if you lost it and you weren't masters yet, hey, well, there goes a blip or whatever. But if you're masters, hey, you lost 10 RP.
Yep.
Because that was a five stack and you're just in a duo. And there really shouldn't be a way that you should win that game ever. Now, sometimes we still win those. And that might just be because, hey, they're in a five stack and they're doing things. They're trying out new comps, or maybe they're just not that good, or maybe they're just having fun in a five stack. You know, there's a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah.
But on our end, we're trying hard as hell because, like, shit, this is a five stack.
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't want to lose RP, and there's no other way around it.
Right. Fully agree with that.
Sneak into the thing, but
well,
like, yeah, and then so like we're dealing with that. And so, like, we're not having fun. We're doing so much just to try to keep our rank up. But they're having fun, and they're either testing comps or, you know, like, who knows what that five stack is doing? They're in comps trolling. You know, there's all those times where you get the five stacks of like, all arounders or something like that, or all supports, and like. Yeah, it shouldn't work, but it does. And when you're in a five stack, because like sometimes a five stack can beat another five stack running things, random things like that. Run five attackers, and y'all just do so much damage that it doesn't even matter that y'all don't have a defender. You know, like, and you can do that against other five stacks, but when you're doing that against a trio or a duo or a trio and a duo or a trio and two solos, like, you can just steamroll and then you're just losing rank. So then for me, it's just like, oh, like my brain just goes crazy. And then you have the people who are like, okay, yeah, you're good. You can play the game well. You know, you might go to every objective. You know, you know how to use the Pokemon that you're using very well, but then you just don't do the most obvious thing. There's things that are like 50-50. Hey. Yeah, you might want to be bottom for the first Reggie because it gives the whole team experience. But your bottom lane is broken. Your bottom lane is kind of feeding a little bit right now. So let's just go top, get this Reggie Alecki, get some dunks. At least two or three of us can get a lot of experience that way. Maybe we can use Reggie Alecki to get some kills and get more experience for the team that way. Cool. You know, like that's a 50-50. So, you know, like, hey, yeah. if you don't go top with me for Reggie Alecki in that kind of situation, fine. You know, just try to get something down there. Don't be used. But then there's the like obvious things like, hey, I'm the jungler, and not only did I just ult at 230 to try to pick up some kills, but at 205, I'm about to go run and sit in this bush so I can try to back cap. You know what I'm saying? And then there's some people that like, and there's other creators that like, you can't tell them no different. Like, you just can't, people won't accept that, like, some things are a bad play. Even if it's worked for you before, some things are just a bad play more often than not. And you can't tell people otherwise. And that bothers me. That bothers me. You can't just always be like, yeah, I can go back cap. And y'all just don't engage. Don't engage. I'm going to go back cap.
Mm-mm.
But for me, as somebody on the other team, like if I'm on the other team,
yep.
Whenever I see, oh, that person's over there at this top goal, push them, push them,
go
5v4, push them right now,
yep,
and instantly, you know what I'm saying? Like, and if we can't win that 5v4, we didn't deserve to win. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I feel. Like if he's doing that, this is our advantage. This is our time now. If we got five people up and this person is back capping on us. And we should go push this advantage right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you got somebody that needs to flank somebody, if you got a Gengar on your team and they got a Decidueye or a Cinderace sitting in the back, all right. As soon as you see that person back capping, Gengar ult, and you loop around, Sableye, Shadow Sneak, loop around,
talk to him,
and then our defender push up, and we just we take this fight, we take it right now because this is our best chance. And
that's beautiful.
And now people don't want to accept sometimes that like that's not the right play. And crazy. It's just like, things like that, when you see it happen, and people are coming to, when you're streaming, people are coming to your chat and like,
oh Lord,
what were you doing? And it's just like, no, what were you doing? Like,
yeah, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? Is that ludicrous?
Like, come on, what are you doing, man? Like, we had this in the back, you know, like, and look, I'm super competitive. Yeah, we all want to win.
Yeah.
But the main thing, two main things I want to do is I want to have fun with the game, first of all. I want to mm-hmm. have fun.
Yeah, and, I want to, yeah.
And when you're in ranked, the fun is the full competition. You know, like, hey, I want to be tested. I want to do 100K damage and look on the other side and was like, man, that Cinderace did 100K too. He was going at it. You know, like, mm-hmm. I want to heal my tank for 100K and then look over and they're Blissey did the same thing. You know, like, I want it to be an even matchup, because then when you win,
yeah,
like, yo, like, oh, remember, now you can think back, like, oh, remember when you made this play, like, we won by mm-hmm. 10 and you got that dunk, you did this overcap, like, you start to think about all the little things you did in that. Or when you lose, you think about all the different possibilities you could have made and what bad play did you potentially make? What good play did you make that gave us a better chance to win, but we just didn't fully capitalize on? Like, there's so much more to be gained,
yeah,
mentally when like everybody's playing the right way, and even if you make a bad play or make a judgment call, you know, because mm-hmm. like sometimes like people don't understand. Like, I hate the back capping at the start of Ray. When there's no fight going on at all and you just go to back cap, that almost guarantees your team is gonna lose. Like, most 9 times out of 10, when I see my teammate doing that, if we can't instantly kill 2 or 3 people, like 9 times out of 10, we just lose. You know what I'm saying? Right. So like I hate seeing that. But there's always, the thing is that people don't realize is that, like, if you want to score, there might still be some opportunities before Ray is gone, where you might be able to still go score and it might actually be needed, and we won't just instantly lose Ray. You know, like there's different times for a lot of different things, especially depending on your character. If you're Dodrio, you're Sableye, you're Dragonite, you know, like these people have ways to get back into the fight or get over there safely, you know, and, or you're greeting or you're
crushing. Especially that Dragonite.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Dragonite, boom. Dragonite, yeah. Slide out of a fight, go dunk, hold mm-hmm. back in, pop people mm-hmm. up, and now
off,
like,
the top
you
rope.
You can create so much advantage off of little things like that, you know, like,
yeah,
and but people don't play it that way, you know. Nah, and that's where the issue is. But and like the crazy thing is like those matches where, like, man, there's a fight going on, nobody's really getting Ray, it says it's a close battle, who's really up, we're trying to look at, oh wait, did you overdunk over here, did they overdunk over here? Yeah, like you're in a duo or a trio and you're trying to communicate that to yourselves, but also like you got two randoms that you don't even know if they're thinking that same thing, but they're still battling with you. Like we're fighting back and forth. Like nobody's like making a bad play, which is causing them to die. It's just, hey, this person might've made a better play to cause you to die. And it's back and forth. Nobody's really getting a chance to work Ray, but oh man, like my Crustle actually just, you know, shell smashed over to the bottom goal, dunked 20 real quick, and then got back into the fight. Maybe he died, maybe somebody died while he was away, but he at least stopped them from getting Ray, yeah, you know, or working Ray. And then you mm-hmm. go to the, and then the game ends and it's like you win, you know, 506 to 489. It's just like, oh, we needed that 20, like, yo, yeah, like, you know, like, and then now mm-hmm. you're like, good job everybody, like you hit the good job from everybody, like you have a good time, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, oh,
five in this shit, let's go.
It's just like, it's such a good time.
Yeah.
And then, but then you have those other ones where it's just like you're rolling, you know, like how many times have y'all been up? And I mean, shout out to the podcast. Like you're rolling so bad. You just got you got both objectives. You know what I'm saying? Your team is so over leveled that two people can go steal the other team's jungle.
Yeah.
You got three of the five, you know, three of the four goals broken.
Mm-hmm. I know where this is going.
Yeah.
And then people, all right, well, it's a three minutes left in the game. Reggie Lecky spawns, we get it, and then now it's an ego push into home base.
God damn it.
And then and you're sitting there like, look, you're pinging, retreat. retreat.
Yo, I need backup, don't do it.
But I'm on my side in reverse. I need backup.
Where's Kevin Hart? Help me.
And the next thing you know, four of your five teammates are dead. And then now they the other team went from being, y'all were all level 12, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Your jungler's on the edge of 15.
Yeah.
And then now you look and their team was 10, 11, and now they're 13, 12.
Monsters.
Now they got two people with buffs.
Mm-hmm.
Their jungler's clearing his cycle again, so they about to have three people with buffs. They send two people to go try to push bottom goal. They send three people to gotta get some LA. And now they got an advantage.
Yeah.
And then they do that and it's right before Ray. And they die right. They die at 218. They popped ults and died because they were trying to push it into their goal. And then now, you know, you're the only one alive. Timer. Yeah, exactly. 30-second, 40-second timers.
Ridiculous.
Been rolling so hard, and Ray's gonna spawn in 12 seconds. You know what I'm saying? And now hey. You might get one person back up as soon as Ray spawns.
Man.
You're the only other person, and they got all five up.
And they just caught
you know, so much level comeback from that
comeback experience. Like, woo.
And now you're just sitting there like you don't even want to go to Ray. You don't even want to leave your base. And
crazy.
Then we lose Ray, their whole team dunks 100. And they killed a couple more y'all and then dunked more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, it's 38 seconds left. Let's just go ahead and surrender. And then as soon as you click surrender, four red dots.
Oh, like, hell nah.
What are y'all doing?
I want to
get out of here.
Yo.
Get me out.
Hey, in the words of Ms. Bombshell, get me the fuck out this match. Yo, we already lost, man. They didn't blow all four goals. Now y'all want to show some effort in the last 38 seconds? Now y'all want to tap into the untapped potential, trying to be Gohan and shit? Man, get me back to the lobby so I get some real people in here. God damn it.
I blew
Holy.
It. We are now down. Like, when, like before, like they didn't, the way that whole, it already showed us at 1 minute left that we were really struggling. It's red. You know what I'm saying? It's red. We are really struggling.
Yes.
And now we got like 38 seconds left. We might have killed two people. But they only got like a, you know, they got a 20-second timer. So by the time we get over there, even if we kill two people on their goal, those two people that are coming back are going to be able to jump back out on us. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we're not going to get these dunks off.
Seriously, so there's that little amount of time left. Like, it takes 3 days to get there anyway, unless you do Drio. Yeah. So, like, just surrender.
Greenant, Crustle, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. But you don't realize how big that map is until you got 20 seconds left in the game. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And you trying to get a quick dunk in. You know what I'm saying? Are you running Floatstone? Are you running Yellow Emblem?
Because
otherwise, you ain't getting there quick.
Yeah,
you know, like,
for real.
The map turns into San Andreas, just how much you have to come
around. For real. Hey, you know them the shows in the movies? Like, when people look at the distance, but it's real far, and then it spans out. It's like that. You know what I'm saying? You got 20 seconds left. When you look at the other side of the map, that shit's like...
It just gets further.
Like, oh, shit.
Yep. And it's just like, man, like, let's just get out of here. Look, we blew it. It sucks. Let's get to the next game. And then you keep me there, and now I'm angry at that alone.
Yeah.
Like, now I want to go block everybody because not only did y'all make, like, such an obviously bad play, but now that the game is clearly out of reach, y'all don't even want to get out of here and just get to the next game. That 30 seconds could easily have been my next queue time. You know,
exactly.
Like, and I could have already been another match and having fun again. But instead, you're keeping me here in this loss. And then know what you're doing? You're going to go over there and they're going to beat your ass. And then they're going to post these screenshots on Twitter saying, yo, I just did 140K damage to, and look, big buzz on that other team. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not even popular, but like that's how I look at it. I'm looking at it like, man, like I don't want to see no screenshot of somebody dropping 200K damage and because they done farmed y'all after the game was already over. They done farmed y'all for damage and then they're gonna look and see my name attached to it there. You know, like I don't want to see that. I don't. I might be okay if y'all may not be in these communities, but I don't want to see my name attached to somebody dropping crazy damage like that. No.
I'm gonna be honest. If I ever go against you, if I were to post that on Twitter, I'd say y'all randoms really let down Big Bud. Like y'all were
facts.
Wailing on us.
Yeah.
You came in 205, three of you dead. We got Rayquaza for free. Bro, yeah. Come
y'all
on,
let him down.
Me, and for me, like, I don't mind being the worst person on my team. You know, like, there's some matches where it's just like, I mean, I think my last stream, like, I had a match, I think I was Dragapult, but like, it wasn't even my stream. I was playing with one of my friends yesterday or something like that. And I was Dragapult in lane with one of my other friends. And there was the other lane was Snorlax and Ninetales. And, you know, like, that's already a little tough battle, but it's bottom lane. I can sneak and get some stuff with Astonish and stuff like that. And usually I can get nine times out of 10 when I'm playing it like that, I can get my level 5 securely. But I'm talking like 745, 730. I'm level 4 kind of steamrolling that they were doing to me down there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this Snorlax is level 8. My jungler is level 8, and he hadn't had no bad ganks. This Ninetales is level 8. You know, like, that's how bad I'm getting steamrolled. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting there, and I'm not even streaming at this point. One of my other friends is streaming, and I'm playing. Me and him and somebody else are in a trio.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm sitting here like, yo, I am getting rolled right now. Like, this can't, I can't do, like, I'm going to go hit this little piece of farm. Let me get my 5 real quick. Let me try to, and then, like, right when I hit my 5, I saw my jungler. He was taking a nice little angle. He did a little bit of damage. He was T-Tar. He did damage with the Dark Pulse. I throw my Shadow Ball in. It don't do no damage. You know what I'm saying? It's just now getting buffed, but it didn't do no damage. But that assist hit.
Yeah.
And then now I went from, and we kill a level 8 Snorlax, and I went from 5 to 7 off of an assist, and then I auto down this Ninetales, and now I'm level 8. And then now it's just like, okay. Like, now I'm back afloat. Like, I had a very bad early game.
Yeah.
And then we still made some questionable plays. We did a lot of ego pushing because that Ninetales and that Lax were so crazy. Like, I think it just kind of put us in the mindset of, like, we got to kill these dudes. Like, we got to make sure that, like, they don't get nothing extra. So we did a lot of, like, staying on their side, trying to take the birds. We did a lot of, like, hard pushing Reggie Alecki. I think the last thing we did, we actually did one of those three, get the Reggie Alecki at 3, push it. It wasn't going into their home goal. It was going into their second base, but, like, hard push it and, like, try to get some kills off of it.
Yeah.
And we got some kills. A lot of us died. But at the end of it, it ended up being, like, we died early enough for everybody to be back way before Ray. And the levels ended up being out equal, where it, as before, like, it was a little bit more lean to their side, and then we ended up winning that.
Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice.
Exactly what it was, and it was just like, it was just one of those. Was like, man, like, we could have easily lost off of that push alone, just straight, like, because we had, at that point, we had made ourselves back. We were competing in fights and stuff like that. Even if we didn't win the objective, we were competing in fights. But, like, as a team, the whole five, like, good randoms, solid randoms. Like, they weren't getting rolled up top like I was down bottom at all. So, like, shouts to them for sure. You know what I'm saying? But, like, we weren't getting rolled anymore. We were competing in fights. And we really didn't need to push that. But if we could have, like, fully pushed that as a team and got the kills and got back out, we would have been in a really favorable position.
Yeah,
but we accidentally died early enough to where we didn't put ourselves in an unfavorable position, and then we had a really good team fight at Ray.
Okay,
and you know what I'm saying, because it was like, I think we got it at 3, we push, we get 3 kills, three or four kills, and then, like, I think their jungler got like a 4 piece and, like, wiped the rest of the team. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, okay, but did we, everybody died, and it was at like 242 or 238 or something like that, and then everybody was back alive at 207. You know what I'm saying? So that means, oh, 207, you come right off, you hit the jump pad, you can get into a bush up top, down below, you can start to loop around, like, you can get into a position early enough to, like, to take the fight. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we did, and then we had a good team fight and we won the game. And it was just like, but afterwards, like, I'm in my friend's chat and I was like, yo, my bad, one, to my friend that was in the lane with me. Yo, my bad. I was getting rep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was getting rolled early game. Like, I feel sorry for you. You was support, and you had experience share, and it didn't even matter because I was getting hard stomped, and I wasn't playing well. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't playing good at all. Like, because at some point, you're like, I got to stop trying to contest these dudes for farm if Lax is just going to jump on me, do half my health to a Dreepy, and then Ninetales is going to freeze me, and I can't move nowhere, and they just get a free kill. And then now they can both push that support Pokemon and push him on goal and stun him so much that he just can't react. And then he dies. And then now our jungler can't gank there, because if he does, he's just going to go down there and die to the stun, because now they're about the same level as him. Like, I was that guy putting the team in a bad position, and I recognized that, but I played my way up out of that. You know what I'm saying? But like, still, it's just like, I'm okay being that guy. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst person on the team. And if we lose because of myself, like how I played, I'm okay taking that. Like, yeah, I was bad. And that beginning, they steamrolled me so bad that it could have easily led to them steamrolling the whole team.
Yeah.
And that would have been my fault. And I understand that. And I'll accept that. And I'll admit to that. You know what I'm saying? We luckily got good teammates, good randoms, and it worked out. But, yo, that next game, instead of Dragapult in lane, it was more Greninja in lane. So I could, you know, that's something I'm a little bit more comfortable with. And then we steamrolled some team. You know, like,
love that. Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask up next here on the show notes. What is your favorite or/ everyone loves to say this, I'm the contrary. Your main character. I don't do mains. I just bounce around. But what's your most played character? Let me put it like that, because I hate the main thing. There's not enough characters. There's only 30 something.
Yeah, Greninja is my most played for sure. That was the Pokemon that, like, so when I started Pokemon Unite, I already knew, hey, people are gonna have that main character syndrome. They want to choose the starter Pokemon. You know, like Venusaur, Blastoise, Charizard, Ninja, Cinderace, things like that. They want to choose those super popular Pokemon, and they want to try to be the one doing all the damage and get, you know, they want to be the hero. You know, I knew people would be that. So my first thought was, I'm going to be support, because I know me as a support, I could do that consistently, but I just wasn't good enough at the game to be the person, you know, solo queue or duo queue as support and help my team. So I started off as Eldegoss, and I was like, no, this doesn't work for me. I swapped to Ninetales, which worked a lot better for me at that time. But, like, I hadn't figured out positioning and things yet. I just wasn't good enough yet. So, like, I hadn't figured out how to position myself well enough to, like, be able to provide that CC with Ninetales without, you know, like getting caught off guard by a Gengar or allowing a Cinderace to slide up on me and just tap A, you know, four times and kill me. So I hadn't figured that part out. So now I was like, man, I need to kill people a little bit quicker. And just so happened, hey, on that, like, I think on that day when I decided that, you know how, like, for the new players, they had gave us like Cinderace, and then like after a certain amount of days, you get Greninja and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That day I had unlocked Greninja. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try Greninja. You know, like, and at that point I had already seen mostly everybody running him in the jungle, but I didn't feel comfortable enough running him in the jungle when I didn't feel like I was good enough in the game yet. And I recognized that that position had more impact. So I didn't want to be the person going into the jungle with a character that I'm not good at, knowing that I'm not that good in general at the game, and then throwing a lot of matches that way. So I just ran lane Greninja. I started off with Surf, and I was all right with it. But then I was just like, I need range. I need to stay at range because I'm not good in the melee aspects of this game at all. I couldn't play any melee character at that point. Like, I was just really bad with all the melee characters. So then I swapped over to Shurikens, swapped over to Double Team.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it clicked with me. You know, like, hey, I can tap A a lot and do a lot of damage, but Shurikens is like if you're in this line, like, you're taking a lot of damage. And that was my thought. I was like, okay, like, now I can pick people out that are, you know, close to death. You know, I can get those kills now. Whereas before, like, I felt as Ninetales, I couldn't get those kills. So then I just ended up sticking with Greninja for a lot of that. Then Blastoise dropped, and it was just back and forth between me playing Greninja or me playing. If we needed offense, I played Greninja. If I needed some bulk defense, I played Blastoise. But Blastoise on drop was like crazy, so it didn't really matter. You know, like, you just play Rapid Spin.
Still is, honestly.
Blastoise is still really good for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think people recognize like how easily it can click Rapid Spin and just go straight to an attacker in the back line and just free kill it. Like, yep. It can't be CC'd. It just literally just kills it for free.
I really hate Blastoise Urshifu teams.
It's tough.
It's two free kills. Like, I hate those teams. I really do.
Wait, the other thing that's cool that some of my friends play is Rapid Spin Blastoise within the Gardevoir ult. Like, you combine that, and that's mental.
Hey, yo, what the hell? Yeah. Damn.
I've seen combinations of you Delphox ult, Gardevoir ult, and then the Blastoise Rapid Spins in, and it's like nothing lives that. Like, neither nobody else has to even click an attack. Like, Delphox doesn't have to attack after that. Gardevoir doesn't have to drop any Psy Shock or Future Sight on that. Blastoise just comes in and
that,
like,
sounds like the last 4 minutes of like a Pokemon episode, like the anime. Like, holy shit, that final battle like, scene.
I've seen some nice Delphox, like combinations Blastoise. With it. Like, especially when like I think the first time I hadn't pulled it off. I had seen I seen a combination happen where, like, it was at Ray. Blastoise is in that left bottom bush right underneath the Rayquaza circle,
mm-hmm.
And then like I think as the Mamo was about to push out on him, he popped ult in the bush, ejected out, so that way it swooped around unexpectedly, and then as he ejected out, Gardevoir and Delphox dropped their ult like. Where Blastoise is the center.
Nasty.
And then people are sucked in. And then so once Blastoise finishes ult spin, he just went into rapid spin. And it was just like five people dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's some anime shit. Oh my God.
And then
God.
They just turned and ripped Ray. And it was just like,
damn.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, that's crazy.
Blastoise said, let it rip.
You know, but then it's also hard now to do kind of things like that. Cause like, you know, like Urshifu just says, you know, like, okay, I'm charging Wicked Blow. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have fun trying to pop me up, you know, like.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, you know, like, just walk straight through it, you know. But I did a lot of Blastoise. But Greninja still stays my, like, if I feel like I need to, like, really carry a team, or if our team composition doesn't look too promising or things like that, I tend to go Greninja more. Just because like I feel like I've learned how to predict how people are gonna play against me a lot better with Greninja. Where like, you know, there's a lot of nuances with like double team of like what angle do you go? And like, which allows people to choose the wrong target a lot of times, you know. And because there's a lot of times where people will choose the wrong target, even though they know the right one. And that's just the game kind of choosing the target for them. But then there's a lot of times you can get people to choose the wrong target purposely, you know, and I've kind of found a good method of that for a lot of scenarios. And so I can get people to waste ults. You know, I've gotten a lot of Serena ults into my clones. I've gotten a lot of. I'm trying to think who else has some Zard ults into the clones. You know,
oh, sorry, fellas.
Like
I apologize. The internet kicked a little bit. I think Deoxys or a Rotom got in the system. I apologize.
Deoxys hit a satellite dish.
Yeah, Deoxys hit a satellite dish. I apologize.
But it's a tough, like that's my go to, and I like the. The way I play it is, it's more of like, I like the way you can outplay somebody, you know, like, cause like Cinderace doesn't really, right. And then for the most part, Cinderace isn't like you outplay somebody. It's like, do you have good position? Yeah. Yeah. How long did you hold the A button? And then like that's most of that fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even Smokescreen Greninja has like more. Smokescreen Scurf has a little bit more outplay to it because it's like you're facing a defender. If you really need to get this Slowbro out the way, like there's not a lot of different ways you can get rid of Slowbro if you're Surf, you know, like you gotta hope that your autos do enough damage, especially if he's scald. Like you gotta find a way to play around that, get your boosted autos close range to right. get the more damage off of those, but then still stay out of his scalds and stuff. Like there's a lot of things you gotta work around, but like running straight at somebody with double team, you know, or like you're double team, you're running straight at somebody, you're attacking, they do some damage to you. You start to retreat in a straight line, and then you double team back the way towards them, but like up at a right angle or something like that. They're thinking, okay, well, the one that went straight back, that's him, you know, because like he needed to retreat because he wasn't going to live.
Definitely, yeah.
And then, now I'm the one that's actually behind them, and then this is a free water shuriken. Now I'm healing off of that, you know, like.
Right. Right.
And then now I can auto again. Like now I can play little games like that. So I like that kind of like mind games with people to try to win a fight here or there and things like that. And that's how I win a lot of fights that way. You know, like even early game, I think that's why I can use it in lane so well. It's because of that. You know, like even if it's just I double team, and if you aren't consciously pushing B, now you're going to be hitting my clones instead of hitting the farm, and it gives me a chance to just hit bubble and get that farm, and I'm okay, you know. Or same thing, even at the beginning of the game when I click substitute, you know, like you might just any chance I can give you to accidentally tap one of those things that ain't me is a better chance that I can hit you for more damage, or I can clear some farm. And
agreed.
I like that outplay.
Yeah.
But as far as like mains go, I think the Pokemon I'm like probably truly the best at is Delphox.
Yes, sir.
And Delphox is like Delphox is kind of that thing of like what I initially wanted to be in this game. It's like, especially when Delphox first dropped, like the Fire Spin Delphox was to me, I played it more as like a support. You know what I'm saying? Like I can come in and my goal is I'm just going to CC things. It's basically what I wanted to try to do as Ninetales, but just wasn't good enough to do at that time.
Okay.
And Ninetales didn't have like the crazy power that Delphox has either. You know, Ninetales relied a little bit more on its autos. Delphox doesn't. Delphox is purely pop these skills. Mystical Fire, get your resets. You know, you go for another Fire Spin, or you go for another flame charge or something like that. So like that's what I really liked, was like, hey, let me run this CC. I'm clicking Fire Spin. Mm-hmm. And I had it down to like the nuances of like where I would place my Fire Spin. How can I try to make my Fire Spin cover two bushes, you know, like in the lane? Like, can I cover that mid long bush, and can I cover the bush on the side? You know,
nice.
Like
I love that, man.
And then once it reveals somebody, like how are we pushing that? You know, like
Delphox,
those are the things I love about that.
Delphox is classified as an attacker, but to me, that Fire Spin really performs as a defense. Like I understand when you're in certain points in time, you can use it to kill people and shit. But for me, it really provides a good defense because there's some areas in the map where it's like. They can only come a certain way. So like if I put this Fire Spin in this said spot, like they have to now walk out in the open, we can see them, and they can't hide in this little grass.
Fire Spin.
Exactly. Yep. And then we see them, it's vision. I play so many games like this where vision is key. And like I only play with certain people now. Like for me, I'll play with any streamer because streamers get what this side is like. But when it comes to like randoms, it's like, yo, I gotta know what you think like and if you understand the certain things I understand, because to me, vision is key. And I hate when people are on this side of our map most of the game. It's like, yo, use your role. And if you're a support defender, you should be out there like spot checking grasses, let us know what's going on. Yep. Like, come on, dog. Like, not to get all hyped up. It's not my episode. I'm just like, yo, when you said Delphox, Because some people will just like not use fire spin, right? It's like, yo, you should be using this in scenarios when objectives pop up. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to be in that grass. You could be 10 feet back, throw that fire spin near the defenders, supporters, somewhere near the lane in that blind spot. Like, oh, man. Good Lord. Yo, Del Fox, I love Del Fox.
That's how I played it. And that's how I play it. It's just like, especially if you're fire spin. But the funny thing is that, like, even if you're not fire spin, mystical fire is a knowledge move as well that people don't realize. You can mystical fire into a bush and watch your cooldowns.
Mm-hmm.
If you get your mystical fire back quicker, somebody was in that bush. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you can put it, because you don't want to be close enough to where, like, the mystical fire would hit them way before the end of its trail. Like, you want the mystical fire to end, like, right in the middle of that bush, so that way you still have some distance just in case somebody pops out at you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just enough to hit them in that bush. And then if you see, yo, my mystical fire was on a 4-second cooldown, but now it's down to 1.5, oh, somebody's in there. You know what I'm saying? So you don't even have to be fire spin version to get that info, but fire spin allows you to check. Like, I use that to check multiple. Okay.
Right.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're coming into Rayquaza, maybe your team had just lost a fight or something like that, and then they got that, you know, like, sometimes the other team will try to be a little bit more aggressive and try to stay on your strong side bush of Rayquaza.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check that. So if I'm Del Fox, I'm using fire spin to check that bush specifically.
Yep.
Because if there's somebody in there, I want them to be stunned and not be able to come right out of that.
Yep.
And then I'm going to use my mystical fire to check that L-shaped bush that leads to bottom. So then that way I can fire spin there, mystical fire over here. And if I don't get a reset or a fire spin doesn't show spin somebody, then I know we're safe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And then I do the same thing with Blastoise. Like, people always forget that water spout reveals.
Yep.
Now, I wish Pikachu's Thunder did the same thing. Because, like, Pikachu's Thunder can hit people in the bushes, but there's no visual thing you can see that, like, will happen. Like, it doesn't get quicker cooldowns for hitting people, and it doesn't reveal people that it hits. But, like, essentially, like, what I end up doing is just, like, if I'm running Thunder Pikachu, I Thunderbolt and Thunder into that bush, and most people ain't wanting to take that unless they're the tank. Like, sometimes a Mamma will just sit in that and know that, hey, he doesn't know I'm here, but he was just checking. And if I don't walk out of this thing, he's going to think nobody's there, and maybe they'll make a play off of that. But, like, Water Spout on Blastoise, like, I'm checking every bush with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at major team fight situations, like, you got to check a bush with that.
Oh, Fire Spin
Del Fox, you got to check a bush with that. But, like, that's what I liked about Del Fox is, like, yeah, I could do, you know, like, and for me, it wasn't always about, like, I want to do 100K damage or anything like that. Like, if I do 60K damage, but the plays I made were huge, and I know I contributed to us winning or having a chance to win, then I'm okay. That's all I want. Like, for myself, like, I just want to, I no matter what Pokemon I'm playing, I want to play well enough to contribute to us having a chance to win. And then after that, you know, like, the other variables of the game or whatever. But, like, as long as I know, hey, I was at objectives, I used my character well, you know, like, I didn't make any super blatant bad plays. Now, this 50-50 play, I could have did better here. Cool. I can learn from that.
Yeah.
But, like, as long as I was contributing, I'm cool. And then,
hey, man,
so, like,
that's how I feel.
The Del Fox just kind of gave me that option. Like, there would be times. So, like, when Del Fox first dropped, you know, like, before emblems and all that stuff, everybody's trying to figure out their sets. And I went to running, like, a full cooldown and support set. Like, I was running Shell Bell, Energy Amp, and a lot of times I was running Experience Share. And I didn't realize, like, Experience Share, even if I last hit stuff, it would split the damage to my teammate anyway. But, like, what I looked at was just, like, when I'm running Del Fox with Experience Share, even if I'm not high level, and I tell people this all the time, with Del Fox, you really only need to hit level 11. And that's just to get the extra Mystical Fires cooldown. After that, if you know how to play your character, you can go into, I would go into Zapdos fights level 11 and walk out with a 5-piece and level 14. You know, like, you just have to know how to play your character. And but what had happened for me was that if I was running experience share, energy amp and shell bell, you know, I got my better cooldowns from the energy amp and shell bell, but that experience share would allow whatever lane partner I'm with to just get those extra little levels, even if they weren't good. You know, you can't depend on them all the time, but it was just like, I feel so confident with my play in this Pokemon, I just want you to get leveled up so that way you can get to the point where you feel good with your Pokemon. So if I'm laned with a Charizard, and a lot of times that's what it was. Like when Delphox dropped, a lot of times I was laned with a Charizard random, and it goes, you know how they are. You know how they are. Like, they don't know how to play the game until they can click ZL. You know, that's it. They can't play the game until they can click ult. And then that's when they learn, hey.
Oh, now you're here.
Exactly. So my goal is like, look, if I'm experience share, I get my first evolution at 4 and my second evolution at 6, but they need to hit 5 and 7 to get all their moves. Like, I need to get them to 5 and 7. So like, if they're just close enough to me, I can basically force them to evolve. You know what I'm saying? Like that, and that's how I played. It was like, even if I'm not super high level, I'm forcing my lane partner to evolve in a lot of these situations because
you're getting these levels, boy.
I know how to play my character. And like, so then it was just like, and then I started seeing a lot of, oh, I'm going against another Delphox. And you know, especially in the early fire spin where, you know, fire spin chases down real easily and things like that. And it was just like, so then I started to realize when I fire spin, even if we're at the same distance, when I fire spin, my fire spin catches them quicker than their fire spin catches me. And then I'm running more cooldown most of the time for most people. I think towards the end of the before fire spin got nerfed, people started to run energy amp and shell bell. But at first people were just running energy amp. They were running stuff like focus band, energy amp, and choice specs or something like that.
Yeah.
And so like they weren't getting the exact amount of cooldowns as me. Mm-hmm. So I would start to see little scenarios where like at what 120 or 150 speed from experience share that it gives you would allow me to get just a little bit out of their mystical fire range when they're like fire spinning me. And then my cooldowns would reset a little bit faster than theirs. So I'd get my mystical fire off before they could. And then so I'd win a lot of these Delphox 1v1s, things like that. And then I started to, okay, now I can start to piece together like ult placement and like when do I ult and exactly how do I ult on bases, you know? Because like most people would just be like, I'm just gonna place my ult directly on the center of their base and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I don't know, like for me it was just like way more math involved. Like I'd look at my team and it's like, is my team low health? All right, If we're kind of on the edge of losing this, then like, I don't want my ult directly on the center of their base. I want it to be like covering their base and then somewhat coming out back towards us. So then that way, like if somebody on my team, like say my front line dies in that situation,
right?
Now we got to back off. Well, if my ult was on the center of their base, and as soon as they will walk off their base, now they're not on my ult,
no
and
damage.
Now they're not slowed anymore, so they can catch up to us quicker. But if I place it to where the rest of my ult was slightly off the left side of their base,
like now half
when
half
they
off.
Come off their ult off their base, they're still slowed a little bit, and they can't catch up to me. And now, hey, if we're 5-man pushing this, I want the right side of my ult to be closer to their berries. So then that way, you know, as they're trying to make it to those berries, they're still slow. And then as they're trying to get back into the fight, they're already taking damage. So they don't get a freeway on or off the base to continue to stop us from pushing them. So
now like, I
to look at little things like that. And then I would do the same thing for our side. Okay, like if we're getting hard pushed, I'm making sure that, hey, my ult is going to carry us to our berry. So like if they're trying to dive us that hard and, you know, Lax is trying to use his movement speed to buff to get to the berries and things like that, like he's going to take ticks all the way to our berry. And then if they only got a couple people and we starting to win this fight, like I'm a spread it out a little bit further, you know, like, and then depending on where that now, like if I'm using a little bit more offensively in that spot, like, okay, I don't necessarily have to cover my base in some of those situations. I can place it dead center in the lane, you know, like,
yeah.
And now it's, I got my base and my whole ult, and now we got most of this lane as an area where they don't want to fight us in, you know, like, so it was just like a lot of extra math to a lot of outplay potential for like how I could place my ult.
Most definitely.
That's where it's like, okay, this is why I like Delphi. This is, yeah, why I like Flame Charge is fun. And I had told people before, like, look, Fire Spin is too good to not run right now. But the meta's gonna change, or Fire Spin's gonna get nerfed, and then Flame Charge is gonna be good. Because I told people on drop, Flame Charge is good. It's just not as game breaking as Fire Spin is.
Yeah.
And what happened? T-Tar drop. What can T-Tar do? Just run straight through Fire Spin.
Jeez.
Oh, and then what did they do? Nerf Fire Spin. So now, because, you know, before, with mm-hmm. the cooldowns, you could have, sometimes you'd have two Fire Spins on the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be CCing two separate groups of people at the same time with Fire Spin and still getting your mystical fires off. And, like, you could literally just control a whole field with Delphox, you know, mm-hmm. like, and then they nerfed it. So now, like, it moves a little slower, and, you know, like, it ain't as easy to get two of those out at the same time. You know, like, so then it's just like, okay. And then T-Tar drops and he just runs through it. So then now, right, it's like, oh, now you need that movement. You need to get out of that. And then Buzz will drop. Like, now you got a bunch of characters. Like, then people started to learn how to play against it off of learned T-Tar, and they started to learn, oh, okay, so this is what works against Delphox.
Yeah.
So then you started seeing more people, instead of choosing Slowbro, they choose Blastoise so they could rapid spin straight to the Delphox. Then mm-hmm. you see the T-Tars running straight at the Delphox. You see the Serena just sliding over to you. You know, like, so then you start to see that a lot. And then now that's where the Fire Spin, I mean, that's where the Flame Charge and Mystical Fire and get the moving like Scolded comes into play. You know, like, now you gotta get those plays, yep. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, and to be honest, like, as much Delphox as I had played on drop, and I tested Flame Charge a decent amount. I wouldn't say a decent amount. I tested it enough to know it was good, but I didn't realize like how it worked with like the animations. So I didn't know you could start your Mystical Fire and then Flame Charge, and before your Mystical Fire hits anybody, you've already moved from Flame Charge.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know that. Like, that wasn't even something I had tried. So then once I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, this is even, I knew it was good, but this is even better than I thought. So now I can really go into a game. Like, I as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm learning that. Learning how to do it. And then now I can go into a match and it's just like, okay, how many people do they have that go unstoppable? They got T-Tar, Blastoise, Lucario. All right, well then I'm not running Fire Spin. Because level 13 Lucario is going to power up punch me. T-Tar's is going to ancient power through it. Blastoise is going to rapid spin through it. I'm not going Fire Spin. This is a Flame Charge game. Oh, but do they just have Slowbro, Decidueye, you know, Espeon? Oh, now this is a free Fire Spin game. Because now my Fire Spin is going to knock off the magic bounce off of Espeon. It's going to cancel.
Hey,
it's going to cancel the Slowbro stuff. You know, like, and then the Decidueye, I can't really get out of it. If I'm close enough, I don't even have to try to. If I can see the Decidueye, I don't mm-hmm. have to try to CC his front line. I can just throw the Fire Spin behind his front line, and then now he has to back off a little bit.
Right.
And a lot of people don't like to run Spirit Shackle, so now he ain't in his good auto range. Now he ain't getting his Razor Leaf off. So, like, right. Now I can go into matches and look at the matchup and be like, okay, yeah, now Fire Spin works here. Or, okay, no, this is a Flame Charge game. Like, I know I'm not going to be able to sit in one spot. I need to go Flame Charge so I can get up out of there. I can't do that. Yo, Urshifu coming? Nah, Flame Charge. You know, like.
Yeah.
But if it's just, like, maybe just a Sableye, I can go Fire Spin. You know, because then now I can place a Fire Spin in a spot and pull Sableye out of that, you know, invisibility, you know, things like that. So,
right,
it, I like that option. And a lot of people don't do that enough. A lot of people don't learn both movesets, even if one moveset is clearly better for a specific meta, you know, yeah, this is this moveset might work best against, you know, the mons you see most often.
Mm-hmm.
But when they pick those random Pokemon that you don't see off that often, how well does it work against them? And then how well does the other moveset work? And then can you use both, and can you decide in that moment which one's going to be the better one? You know, just like with Safeguard Blissey and Softboil Blissey. You know, like, if that other team is Mime, Mamo, Ninetales, Espeon.
Yes.
are you going to just click Softboil and watch your whole team not be able to move? Right. Or are you going to click Safeguard so your team can function?
Safeguard,
You know, so, like, mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand, like, those nuances of why you should choose certain moves. That's why after a while, I started to realize, like, yeah, I'm comfortable with Water Shuriken Greninja, but I also realized that, like, hey, if I'm a laner, which is, I run lane Greninja a lot, like, that's where I learned how to play the game, essentially, is running lane Greninja.
Yeah.
Oh, random, correct?
Jox has got him. It's all good.
I learned how to play lane Greninja, so once I realized, hey, I need to be able to fight some of these defenders, so let me, what works best? So if I'm running, if there's a Slowbro on the other side and he can just amnesia half his health back, what are my autos going to do?
Nothing.
But the Water Shuriken, you can get him in closer range so that even if I can't pick him off, somebody else on my other team can pick him. So, like, it's a learning what each set does. I
said this a couple times, but I always feel like the game starts at the character select screen. Like, either choosing the character and seeing which mons your opponents have.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I look at the other team, I immediately know this isn't this kind of moveset game, this lane is going to struggle. You know, like once we move into the lanes and it's just like those icons pop up. Oh
yeah,
that top lane is two melee attackers and it's Mamo and Ninetales on the other team. They might struggle. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might struggle in that early game.
No doubt.
If that top lane is Mime and Mew for our team, and it's Mamo and Ninetales on the other team, it's gonna be a tough battle for both sides. You know, like, so, like, but you can kind of see those things and be like, oh, this is how we should do this.
Yeah.
And people just don't look at it that way. People go in and they're like, I'm clicking this role, this Pokemon, and I'm using this moveset. and then they go into the match, and that moveset isn't good for that team comp. And then they lose, and then they're, this dude didn't do well. And it's just like, you could have did a little bit better. You know, like, I've been playing Decidueye a lot lately, and it's just like, man, sometimes I want Spirit Shackle is so much more fun. Just first off, Spirit Shackle is so much more fun. So many more clips that can happen out of it, all kinds of stuff. But if that other team is Leech Life, Buzzwool, Slowbro, trying to think of Clefable or Blissey.
Thickums.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing but thick Pokemon, and then maybe a Cinder in the back. What is your arrows gonna do? Unless the rest of your team, like, what you're gonna be end up relying on is the rest of your team doing all the damage, and then you just securing the damage.
Hey,
I don't like to play like that.
Hey, fellas, I want to say, before time gets away from us, we got to wrap up soon. But before we do, I want to ask Big Bud real quick. What are three Pokemon that you want to see come to the game? And then after that, we'll do our sign-offs so I can hit the stream marker.
No problem.
What are three Pokemon?
Hydreigon. That's my
favorite. Oh, that's shit. You went for the heavy hitter. Oh, shit.
That's my favorite dragon type. Volcarona.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, damn. Hell, okay.
Hell yeah.
We need more types. That'd be great. And then, even though I do want a defender, sorry, Curly, I'm not going to say that yet. You know what I'm saying? We need some new defenders.
Seriously.
And I have some ideas for some good defenders, too. The last one is just going to be my favorite Pokemon. I want Alakazam in there. I know we probably won't get it because of Abra.
In the famous words of Shofu, metal in hand, Alakazam. Damn. Okay.
Exactly. Hell yeah. I Alakazam has always been my favorite Pokemon.
Damn.
I was disappointed that Abra was in the quick battle map as like a farm. So, like, I don't know if they'll ever add him as a playable character. But I feel like there's a lot of different potential ways they could run Alakazam, either as like a attacker or as a support. And I mean, just It's like having potential like teleporting and you know the psychic moves that, you know, like an attacker that kind of in a way, you know, like works as a mixture of like as like of a mixture of like Gardevoir and Slowbro. You know, yeah. Like have some big splash, maybe even just single target. Like Gardevoir has like more area targeting moves, but I'd hope that maybe like Alakazam might just have more like single target moves, like how maybe like Mystical Fire is for Delphox, but then also like some CC moves like the telekinesis is on Slowbro. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. I think there's a good chance to like kind of play around with something like that.
Okay,
those would be my three. Dre nice. Got to work as either an all-arounder, attacker, or a speedster, depending on what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then Volcarona could be a great attacker. The Quiver Dance. It could kind of be like how Sylveon was with the how Sylveon's Calm Mind does. The Quiver Dance could do the same thing.
Yeah.
And like Fiery Dance could, you know, boost his special attack for a little bit if it hits a certain amount of targets. Or something like there's a lot of different ways, but those are the three. Those are the three.
Nice. Those are some nice picks right there. Yo, thank you for that, for real. And I want to say, I think Delphox is a great character. So thank you for that intricate breakdown on your mindset. Because I know there are a lot of folks who listen to the show, but they'll listen to it in chunks. So I know like the way that you're going about the character will really help them out. Because you went in depth about not just like the movesets and the items, but like positionings and situations and placements. So once again, thank you very much for that. For real, man. That's really cool. Really appreciate that.
I do. It's what I like to do.
Hell yeah. Yo, we want to thank everybody watching us live on Twitch. Everybody listening, make sure you come subscribe to the new YouTube channel. You can find us on YouTube, Surrender at 5 Podcast. Brand new YouTube channel. We got like, we started with 0 subscribers. I didn't even promote it yet. We got like something like 20. What we got right now? Let me check real quick. I checked it yesterday and I was like, damn.
Those are the day ones.
The day ones, yep. So come check us out. You guys can watch every episode on there as they all get uploaded. Our channel's getting verified. I would say within the next week. Like, I don't think it should take longer than 7 days. If they do, I'm just going to go knock on the door at YouTube. Like, yo, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to do our thing out here. Grassroots effort podcast, you know?
Let them know.
I'll go first. You guys can find me on Twitter and Twitch, obviously, at Mike Lowry. On Twitter, it's Mike Lowry Pod. You can find our podcast, Surrender at 5 Podcast, on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere out there. I'll pass it to Random, and then Big Button go.
I am live on Twitch whenever I feel like it, twitch.tv/randomoss. I recently made a Twitter this year, and I actually posted a new video on my YouTube channel, Randomoss. It's just a fun little Sableye video. I think you guys will like it.
Oh, man.
Love that.
For me, I'm live a little bit of whenever I feel like it on... But a lot of times in the morning, kind of around this time, Big Bud, B1G, B-U-D. And that's also my Twitter, my YouTube, kind of everything. So, yeah, you can find me all those places. Throwing ranked matches and raging at people.
Sounds fun.
Love it, man. Love the brand unity. Thank you once again for coming on the show. Yo, man, great conversation. Very insightful. And for everybody not following Big Bud, make sure you go support. When we do have this episode up, we will have, like every episode for all the guests, we'll have the links to their content. So you guys can go subscribe, follow, whatever it may be on those platforms. Thank you, Big Bud. You inspired me for these cool shirts. I got to go buy some more. I got to get an ironing board and iron them out. You know what I'm saying? Spring's coming. I got to get some more shirts, more colors. You know what I'm saying? Love it, man. And we're going to pass it to Randomoss for our sign off.
Thank you guys so much for watching. And if you see us online, surrender at 5.